Be holy, for I am holy. Understood correctly, this is the most frightening statement in all of Scripture. It's repeated in both covenants. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. God told Israel, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And then again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, that was brought into the new covenant. As Peter reminds us that we are to be holy because God is holy. As we're striving to pursue holiness this year, I want us to consider what this statement means. Three things that we need to understand because of this statement. Be holy, for I am holy. Would you bow with me before we look at those? Almighty God and Father in heaven, you are awesome and powerful, gracious and mighty, benevolent, loving, generous. But above all and before all, you are holy. Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come, Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of your glory. And we are in awe that you allow us to inhabit your earth. We are in awe that you have patiently waited with us and developed a plan by which we could have holiness. We are humbled and in awe at your Son. And we thank you for the holiness that you've given us and that you're producing in us. We sing, "Make us a servant just like your Son." Father, we also ask that you make us holy just like your Son. Help us this morning as we consider your holiness and what it means for our lives, that our hearts and minds will be open to you, that we will pursue you, and that we will long to be with you more than any place else. We love you, Father. Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. When we consider this idea, be holy for I am holy, the very first thing is really a reminder, something we've already discussed and covered. We need to recognize God is holy. In a previous lesson, we talked about the holiness of God, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it this morning. But you can't talk about 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, without recognizing that it says God is holy. And so, as a refresher to remind us what we've learned, we understand that holiness at its base, at its most fundamental idea, is the idea of distinctness, of separateness, of that which has been separated from the common and the unclean. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 10, we see that concept of holiness as God was telling the priests, you are to distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. Holiness is that separation from what is common and what is unclean. And God has that in the extreme. We talked about God's holiness in two different connected but distinct ways. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11 demonstrates the one aspect. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in your glorious deeds, doing wonders? We talked about that majestic holiness, the majesty of God, that distinct separateness that is nowhere better described than in Genesis 1 and verse 1 when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That divided all that exists into two categories, creator and creation. Guess which one we are? We are creation, and everything that we have seen and touched and handled is creation. But God is separate and distinct from that. He is creator, majestic in holiness. Coming from that, what we most commonly think of with holiness, his ethical holiness. Because he is distinct, because he is separate and holy, clean, he is ethically holy. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says it like this. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So much so that in James chapter 1 and verse 13, James says, let no one when he is tempted say, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. God is so holy, evil doesn't even tempt him. That is how magnificent and majestic and ethically holy he is. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God, if he is anything, is holy. And so, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, the angelic beings, the living creatures, and the elders all bow before him and cast down their golden crowns. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. And in Psalm 99 and verse 5, exalt the Lord our God, worship at his footstool. Holy is he. And then in verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. When God says, be holy, for I am holy, we need to remember this first and foremost. God is holy. But we need to understand a second thing from this. Not only is God holy, but God is our standard for holiness. God is our standard of what is holy. Romans 3:23, we already quoted it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God's glory is the standard of what is holy. Not my think-sos, not my ideas, not what I want, not what you want, not what this church decides. God is the standard of holiness, and there is no other standard that we should seek. We must pursue his standard. In fact, go back to Leviticus 19, where God had said, be holy, for I am holy. Throughout the book of Leviticus, God gives his laws, and he says, Israel, you're supposed to do this thing. And then he backs it up with a phrase, and he says it again and again and again. And that phrase is, I am the Lord. Leviticus 19, we find it over and over again. At the end of verse 4, do not turn to idols and make for yourselves any gods of cast metal. Why? I am the Lord your God. We find him saying this throughout the chapter. In verse 10, you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. Why? I am the Lord your God. At the end of verse 12, I am the Lord. At the end of verse 14, I am the Lord. At the end of verse 16, I am the Lord. In verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why? I am the Lord. Why does God say this again and again and again? What is his point as he gives his law and his will? What is his point to keep saying, Israel, do this because I am the Lord? His point is simply this. God's the standard. God gets to decree. God is able to declare. God is the one that can establish the rules. God, just by mere fact of being holy, is the standard of holiness. And when he is our God, we're saying, God, your standard will be our standard. And not only are we saying, God, will your standard be our standard? What we're saying is, God, you will be my standard. If we're going to recognize this, this does mean two things. Number one, it means we have to get to know God. If we're going to be pursuing holiness and we understand that God is the standard of holiness, that just demands we got to get to know Him. 1 Corinthians explains to us how. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 10, these things God has revealed to us, he says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Paul is saying that he and the apostles had received the spiritual things from God. God had revealed himself to them through his Holy Spirit, and now they were conveying that through what was being written. Spiritual truths and spiritual words. You want to know God? Don't take a walk in the woods. You want to know God? Don't climb a high mountain. Do you want to know God? Get in His Word. In His Word, God has revealed to us who He is, what He loves, how He acts, and how He reacts. All those things that we learn as we get to know someone, we find that as God reveals Himself through His Word. But not only must we get to know Him, we must get to know His will. Because it stands to reason, if God is a holy God, then what He wants for us is holy. If God is a holy God, then His will for us is holy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, I believe, demonstrates this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul, as he talks about this idea of the church being moral, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, he says, because God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. What has God called us to? Holiness. When God reveals His will for us, what is it about? It's about holiness. And so in Psalm 119, beginning at verse 9, in Psalm 119 and verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guiding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. We need to know His will. We need to get His will inside us. We need to know it so that we can call it to mind. Why? Because what God has revealed about His will for us, what God wants for us, is holiness. And so if He has given us some instruction, you can rest assured that that instruction, that will, that word, is about holiness for us. We need to understand that there are times, there are things that seem right to us. But as Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 reminds us, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. We are not the judge of what is holy. God is. If we want to find out what is holy, we don't put our finger up to the wind and see which way it blows. We don't check with the culture and the society. We don't poll preachers, professors, and priests. We don't just go with what feels right and what we can hardly imagine that it would be any other way. God is the standard of holiness. And He's the only standard. Because He is holy. There's a third thing we need to recognize from this. God is holy, and God is the standard of holiness. But when we understand this phrase, be holy for I am holy, we need to recognize that where He is holy. Where God is where holiness is. Let me see if I can explain this. The entire Bible story, everything that we read, everything that God has given us in His Word, everything that God has revealed, is about getting us to holiness. How does the story begin? It begins with God creating man and woman in fellowship with Him. It begins by creating man and woman right there with God. But man sinned and severed the fellowship. And God cast the man and the woman away from where He was. And sin spread. And all became corrupt. Their children and their children. Until the thoughts of man were only evil continually. God judged the world. But He provided a way for Noah and his family. And they survived. But sin continued with them. And the reality is, for all the things that happened between then and now, the world is not incredibly different. It's filled with sin. Each of us has sinned. God separated out Abraham, developed a nation, and He sent His Son through that nation who died on the cross. And yet the world continues to pursue sin. And we have done so with it. But God would call us out of that. God would have us leave that. You see, here's the problem. Psalm 5 and verse 4 makes it very clear. Psalm 5 and verse 4. You are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. God longs to have a relationship with us. But evil and sin may not dwell with Him. We need to see God as a person, as a being who has good, healthy boundaries. Most of us don't even know what that's like. Our world is filled with dysfunction. Most of the relationships we participate in have some level of dysfunction. In our common everyday idea of relationship, we all say that we've got these boundaries. I won't put up with this. I can't be with this. But then we see that relationship that we think, if I didn't have that relationship, I just simply couldn't survive. And so, because of weakness or fear or insecurity, what we most often do is cross those boundaries. That relationship becomes more important than the boundaries. And so what we're used to experiencing and what we're used to seeing is boundaries that don't matter. Boundaries that don't count. And so when we see a truly healthy relationship, we can't understand it. And so when God has truly healthy boundaries, we don't understand it. And folks get upset about it. They think truly healthy boundaries are just being mean. That's not what it is at all. God wants a relationship with us, but He does not want that relationship so badly that He will sacrifice His very nature of holiness. And unlike us, God is not weak. He is not fearful, and He is not insecure. And despite those who have told you that, oh, God out there is a lonely God, and He's just looking for a relationship, and He just really wants that relationship to be with you, that's not our God. God is not out there looking for a relationship that is somehow going to fill in some gap that He's missing. The blessing in this relationship with God is not for Him, it's for us. But He can't dwell with sin or wickedness. He has that boundary. And He's not so desperate for a relationship as to allow that boundary to be crossed. And so, as we see in Isaiah 52, in Isaiah 52, verses 11 and 12, God calls out to Israel and He says this, depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. He calls to Israel, and he says, you need to get out from all that uncleanness. You need to get away from that. Because you see, what we need to understand is, where God is where holiness is. And if we can almost get a geographical picture in our mind, we've got the world and we've got God. We've got the world and we've got God. I'm up here. In the world, we've got sin and corruption and uncleanness and commonness and unholiness. And God can't be a part of that. And so God is separate from that. And what he's saying is, come over to where I am. This is where holiness is. We can't be of the world and also of God. We can't hang out in the worldly things and love the things of the world and pursue the things of the world and pursue holiness at the same time. Because holiness is where God is. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, God calls this statement from Isaiah that we just read a moment ago, and he says to us, and he says to these idolaters that were in Corinth, go out from their midst, be separate from them, says the Lord, touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you. This is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. I'll be a father to you, in verse 18, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. And he continues on in chapter 7. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord. The question is, where are we going to hang out? Mentally, psychologically, spiritually. What are we going to pursue? God is inviting us. He's got these boundaries. He wants a relationship with us, but he's not going to violate those boundaries. And so he says, come out from that. Separate yourselves from that. Don't touch those things. Come over here to me, because here is where holiness is. Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. Where God is holiness. And here's the good news. There's a difference between Leviticus and 1 Peter. In Leviticus, when God said, be holy, for I am holy, he gave another law. And then said, be holy, because I am holy. And gave another requirement. But in 1 Peter, look what comes after this. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. The difference between Leviticus and Peter is that in the gospel that Peter presents, we really can step out of the unholiness and go where God is. In Leviticus, they offered sacrifices that by themselves could not cleanse. But Jesus is the way, John 14:6, the truth and the life. And by his sacrifice, we can be separated and come out and be holy. By his sacrifice, we can turn our backs on the sin that has separated us. He will wipe you clean, and he will empower you to grow, justifying and sanctifying you. There's only one reason we can even talk about pursuing holiness. And that's because Jesus died to make you holy. Will you follow him to where God is? Be holy, for I am holy. Will you pull out your songbooks, please? If you're going to be using a songbook, if not, it'll be up on the screen. If you were able to receive a program, the number I put in there was incorrect. That would be my fault. 627 is the number. The name in the program would be incorrect. That would be Peter's fault. In the songbook, it's called There's a Royal Banner. I just wrote what he put in the email. There's a royal banner. Jesus can be your banner. He can be your proclamation. Will you turn to him and let him make you holy? Will you let him bring you to God? Will you walk with him and cut off the things of the world? God's called us for holiness. Not for just continuing in this world that has defiled us. If we can help you enter the sacrifice of Christ today through baptism for the remission of your sins, we invite you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.